Welcome to the morning service. Welcome anybody on Zoom. It's lovely to see you all. I'd just like to welcome Reverend Alan Bolton this morning, who's going to lead our service and bring God's word to us. So I will hand over to you now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, good morning. Good morning. I bring you greetings of your brothers and sisters in the Methodist Church in the High Wycombe area. We stand in the same tradition, even if our organisations are separate. We're meeting in the presence of God on Remembrance Sunday, as I'm sure you're aware. And so today's an opportunity for us to commit ourselves in penitence and faith to reconciliation in this world, so that people may live in justice, freedom, and peace. And so we will pray for all who, in bereavement and disability and pain, continue to suffer the consequences of war and fighting and terror. And we shall remember with thankfulness and with sorrow those whose lives in world wars and conflicts since and present have been given and taken away. We sing a traditional hymn for Remembrance Sunday, O God, our help in ages past. It's number 498, but I think the words will be on the screen.
Oh,
And now let us pray together. Let us pray. Great God of creation, once it was people's tradition to hide their faces in your presence, for they thought you too awesome, even frightening. As you were righteous, they sought fierce justice. Keep the law, an eye for an eye. In Christ Jesus, you have revealed yourself anew and differently, teaching us that you live among us like a friend, a good shepherd, guiding, guarding, a supportive vine bearing fruit, like a beam of light chasing away the darkness, like a bridegroom loving, faithful, and joyful. You teach us to live in love, to turn the other cheek. You turn mourning into dancing, ignorance into wisdom, condemnation into compassion. We worship you, great and glorious God, for you make all things new. So as we this day remember the past and the present sufferings of so many people through conflict and warfare, may we renew our commitment to those things that are yours: forgiveness, sacrifice, hope, and love. We confess that we fall very far short of these things, and we pray your guidance, your energy, your Spirit's presence with us, that we may walk more closely in the footsteps of Jesus and live lives closer to what you intend for us. And so we hear your word of grace that our sins are forgiven. And we pray that from this day forward we may live lives guided more and more by your holy presence. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, and we share these words with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'll now invite Pippa and Steve to bring us readings from the scriptures.
First reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, and you'll find it on page 185. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Thanks be to God for his word.
Our second reading is from Matthew 5, verses 38 to 48, on page 970 of the Church Bibles. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek. And if anyone wants to sue you or take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And not even the tax collectors can do that. And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Let us pray. Lord God, may I speak and may we hear your word this day. Amen. I'm a bit of a fan of podcasts on the radio. And one of my favourites is the one where Alistair Campbell, who was Tony Blair's press secretary, and Rory Stewart, who was a Conservative MP, talk about current politics. And one day somebody sent a question in and they said, was Jesus a socialist? And immediately Rory Stewart, the Conservative's response was, no, Jesus wasn't a socialist. He was much more radical than that. And that reading we've just had that Steve brought to us is part of that. And indeed, the reading from Deuteronomy is pretty radical too, if we take it seriously. Remembrance Sunday has a special place in my heart. I remember it from my childhood, and when I was ministering in Manchester, I was chaplain to the local British Legion. And on Remembrance Sunday, I had to do the 2 minute silence 7 times. Now, for a Methodist parson to keep quiet for 14 minutes is a major achievement. But let me share with you 3 admittedly second-hand pieces of witness about the Second World War. First, I want to tell you about Harold, who was a member of one of my churches when I served in Harrogate in Yorkshire. He'd been a conscientious objector during the Second World War. He'd refused to bear arms when he was called up in 1939. And he had to face long questioning by a tribunal and no doubt fierce criticism, to say the least, from his friends, maybe even his family, and certainly from society at large. But eventually he was allowed to serve in the Fire and Rescue Service in London, which meant he was in London during the 1940-41 Blitz and still there when the V1 and V2 rockets were landing. He was a man of enormous integrity and courage, and he had heard Jesus' words that we've just heard, turn the other cheek, love your enemies and so on, and he felt compelled to refuse to fight. My second witness is Jeff, a member of one of my churches in Manchester. He'd been in the RAF before the Second World War, and he served throughout the war in Bomber Command, which of course had its headquarters just up the road here. He had trained with the Dambusters squadron, although in fact he didn't go on the famous raid. But he did fly over 80 missions over Germany, and the average life expectancy of bomber crews was 30 missions. He told me that at the time, he and his comrades didn't think much about the morality of what they were doing. It was life or death for them, and a job that had to be done. But later in life, and certainly when I knew him, he was racked with distress. He suffered because of the trauma that he'd had when his Lancaster bomber was hit, although they had managed to limp home. And of course, by what he'd heard about the suffering and devastation of the people of Berlin and Hamburg and Dresden and so many other cities. He remembered with increasing sharpness what had happened 50, 60 years earlier. And my final witness is my own father, the gentlest of men, but who served in the army throughout the war as a lorry driver in the Royal Army Service Corps. But that meant, particularly when the army was going in the wrong direction, he was kind of in the front line. He was on the beach at Dunkirk. He was in the desert in North Africa. He was at Anzio during the invasion of Italy in 1943, and then travelled right up through Europe, ending his service in Hanover, in northern Germany. And he freely admitted that on the whole, he'd enjoyed the war, actually, spending his early and mid-20s in an atmosphere of comradeship, male banter, no doubt, some excitements and certainly danger. Travelling the world in a way that a working-class lad from West London could never have imagined. And he had no wife or children at home to worry about. And to the end of his life, he died at the age of 97, about 6 years ago, he remained clear that Hitler had to be stopped, and there was no other way to do that except military force. Three very different stories and experiences and perspectives of three Christian people. And now there are few left to remember the Second World War, let alone the First, after which today's traditions of remembrance were started. But shockingly, there are still plenty of witnesses to war. And today's conflicts, of which we are painfully aware, add yet more stories, yet more suffering, yet more waste and horror to the already overfull catalogue of the tragedies of warfare. So what is the Christian response to war? Well, some Christians say that it's clear, like Harold, hearing what Jesus tells us to do, and they become pacifists. But the biblical evidence is actually far from straightforward. The Old Testament, to be sure, has visions of peace, famously about swords being turned into plowshares. That's at Micah chapter 4. But exactly the opposite is said in Joel chapter 3, where it says, "Beat your plowshares into swords." And famously at Ecclesiastes 3, there's all that talk of a time to kill as well as a time to heal. I think there is a strong case for Christian pacifism based on what we know of the character of God revealed in Jesus Christ. And of course, it's quite easy for me to take that stance in my Buckinghamshire armchair. But could I do the same if I lived in a kibbutz in Western Israel, in daily fear of terrorist attack? Could I take that view if I was sheltering in a hospital courtyard or watching over my newborn baby in its intensive care unit, running out of water, fuel, medicine, and all the rest? Perhaps we can agree some things. Warfare is certainly tragic. It's scandalous. It's one of the worst symptoms of human sinfulness. And we need to do all we can to remove this dreadful blight from the face of God's world. And one of the ways that we can find energy and faith to be peacemakers is to do what Deuteronomy tells us to do, to remember. It's a powerful word. It means put things back together, doesn't it? Remember them. To remember the sacrifice and the suffering of wars long ago and those present. The ancient Israelites knew the importance of remembrance. First and foremost, the need to remember the great commandment to love God with all your heart and soul and might. For amidst all the confusion and the dilemmas that real life presents, not least in times of conflict, we are dependent on God. And so as we prepare all my hope on God is founded. It's number 16, and the words will be on the screen.
Thank you.
Do sit, please. And now, as we wait for the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, we hear some passages of Scripture and prepare ourselves for our act of remembrance. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with the tumult. Come and behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations are on the earth. But he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God, says the Lord. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts, of armies, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And from the prophecy of Isaiah, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And from the epistle of Paul to the Romans, what then are we to say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but who gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who can bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed prays for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or war or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? No, there is nothing in all creation which can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will you please stand if you're able? They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. ever-living God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we're going to sing the hymn, "Who Can Sound the Depths of Sorrow in the Father Heart of God?"
Yeah.
Do sit, please. And let us pray. Let us pray for all who suffer this day because of conflict. And let us pray for peace. We remember and pray for the servicemen and women and their families, those who have died in the violence of war. Each one known and remembered by God. Give us peace, Lord. We pray for those who have lost people they love. We raise to you the distress and grief . Give us peace, Lord. We pray this day for all in armed forces and civilians who are in danger, remembering family and friends, and all who pray for their safety. For women, children, and men whose lives are disfigured by war. And we call to mind, in penitence, the anger and hatreds of humanity. Give us peace, Lord. We pray for peacemakers and peacekeepers who seek to keep this world free, just, and secure. And for all, whether we agree with them or not, who bear the burdens and privilege of leadership, political and military and religious, we pray for them, your gifts of wisdom and resolve in the search for reconciliation, peace, and hope. Give us peace, we pray, O Lord. And let us again fall silent now to hold in prayer our particular concerns, perhaps individuals we know who are sick or in other trouble. O God of truth and justice, we hold before you those whose memory we cherish and remember this day, those whose names we will never know. Help us to lift our eyes above the torment of this broken world and grant us the grace to pray for those who wish us harm. As we honour the past, so we put our faith in your future. For you are the source of life and hope, now and forever. Amen. And let us commit ourselves to responsible living and faithful service. Let us strive for all that makes for peace. Let us seek to heal the wounds. Let us work for justice. So, Lord, we offer to you the fears in us that have not yet been cast out by love. And may we accept the hope you have placed in the hearts of all people and live lives of justice, courage, and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Redeemer. Amen. And now we're going to sing, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace." And I suggest we remain seated to sing this hymn. It's 456, words on the screen. Thank you. One more reading from Scripture now. I think it's Brian. Is Brian going to bring us this passage from very near the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, a vision of a new world?
It's chapter 21 of Revelation, so verses 1-4. A new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away."
We finish on a hymn of moving forward. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Or is it Redeemer? Depends which version we have. Anyway, that hymn, we're going to sing it now. God grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the church, our nation, and the whole world unity, peace, and to us and all God's servants life everlasting. And the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Spirit, be with us and remain with us always. Amen.
Recording stopped.